Well, it's lovely to be back. It seems months since I had the opportunity to preach here. I'd like us to have a turn to our Bibles to John's Gospel, chapter 10. John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 7. Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." Well, as was said a moment ago, September does often give a sense of a sort of a new beginning in the church. And maybe even a sense of a fresh start or an opening of a new chapter in your Christian life. Many of us here this morning will have that dual sense of looking ahead with faith whilst having lived long enough to have accumulated setbacks and failures in our lives as well. And sometimes we don't seem to enjoy the full Christian life that God intends for us. And if you're feeling like that this morning, then take heart from God's word to us in verse 10 of John chapter 10. A thief comes to steal, to kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Jesus outlines two things in this verse. He outlines the mission of the devil in this world and then his mission. Let's look at the mission of the devil first of all. Firstly, to steal. The evil one, wants to steal your peace with God. He wants to steal your security with God. He wants to steal any sense of your presence with God, now and in eternity. And then to kill. The evil one is the bringer of death, notably through wars and diseases. And to destroy. The evil one is extremely interested in destruction. The destruction of homes, maybe through war. The destruction of health through disease, the destruction of family relationships through sins such as adultery or child abuse, the destruction of social standing through sins such as shoplifting, the destruction of personal integrity through things such as evil thoughts. And the evil one wants us to go along with the standards of the world, whereas God calls us to be holy, to be separate, to be beacon lights, and to be those set apart. And the second thing that Jesus outlines in this verse is that in contrast to the evil one, he came that we might have life. He says in verse 8, "All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers." Jesus came. Let's not just rush over that God entered this world. He didn't bypass suffering, whether it's suffering in Egypt in the days of Moses or the suffering of refugees that we've been made very aware of in the last week. And with a lot of these problems, there is an answer, and it begins and ends in God caring for humanity so much that he shared it with us in the person of Jesus. And Jesus challenges us to live unselfishly. He challenges us to live differently. And Jesus came, and he came alongside. He brought a better way of living, of life and faith. He came to point us to a better way. And God broke into the world he had made. It was a specific invasion of divinity into the world in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus came and Jesus gave. Verse 11 tells us, "The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Repeated again in verse 15. Jesus gave his own life in his death on the cross. He also spent his life in the service of others. He had an open-hearted and an open-handed availability to love people. And it was out of a basis of love that he shared, he helped, and he cared. That was very interestingly brought to us in one of the songs we sang this morning. I think it was the third song. It was a song we don't sing very often, and I thought, we don't sing this very often. And then I looked at the words and I thought, oh, it sounds like a very Catholic song to me. I wonder who wrote it. So I turned around and found out where it came from. Wasn't far wrong in my analysis of the theology. And then I thought, how lovely that in the, what I like about this church, I think it's one of the strengths, is that it's got many facets to it. I think in some ways the local church should be like a diamond, one stone, but many facets with different parts of it shining. And I thought particularly how lovely it is to be part of a fellowship where we can sing songs from various bits of the church. I think that's a great strength, because the various parts of the church nearly always have got something good to add to the whole, to make up part of the diamond that God wants us to reflect to his love. So the sentiments in, that were expressed in that third song, then I don't think they're just to be kept within one little bit of the church, but to be embraced by us all. And I think that's a very important thing. And it talked in that hymn about things like intentional acts of kindness that we can show towards other people. And those things are hugely important. And as our life of faith with Jesus develops, I think we will become tremendous givers by nature, because giving of time and giving of ourself reflects the nature of Jesus. And generosity will be one of the characteristics of those who've been touched by God. And in the early chapters of the book of Acts, the Christians there were engaged in some terrifically generous acts. But what is reported there is not an equalization of resources, but a sharing of resources so that needs could be met. You know, God hasn't given us all equal resources in this church, but he expects us all to have that same attitude of sharing out of what we have with other people. Jesus came, Jesus gave, Jesus came to bring life. Holiness and humanity can be combined because they were combined in Jesus. Christians are not meant to live lives like some shrinking violet in the shadows or on the edge, but to live life fully and generously and in a way that shows that their cups are truly running over with the goodness and love of God. Here's a message here for me. John and I are always joking about this because he's the glass half full man and I'm perpetually the glass is running dry. But we're both wrong here, John, because we've got to live life with our cups running over with the goodness and love of God. So the results of Jesus saying all this was that people got very divided about it. Verse 20, ooh, he's demon-possessed, he's raving mad, why listen to him? And then other people said, well, these are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? You know, later this morning, there's going to be a dedication service for two sets of parents, and we hope that both the children will have long and successful lives. We'd like to think that they'd grow up to find happiness and satisfaction, but our own experience of life tells us that such an outcome is not necessarily inevitable. How do I find happiness and satisfaction in life is one of those eternal questions. And Jesus stated in John 10:10 the purpose why he came. He said, the thief comes only to kill, to steal and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. What does Jesus mean when he says we can have life to the full? Well, abundant living is a life that's filled with things that are good for us. People who enjoy abundant life will possess in growing measure these qualities: love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, compassion, purity, humility, modesty, faith, character, wisdom, enthusiasm, dignity, optimism, confidence, honesty, and a relationship with God. All of that stuff is all about abundant living. In other words, abundant life is not completely dependent on having lots of money, because you cannot buy those qualities. No matter how much money you have, you cannot buy more patience. You can't buy more self-control. B&Q don't stock wisdom or hope. You can't stock up on a bit of cheap kindness at Lidl. You won't find honesty or faithfulness fell off the back of a lorry or and are on sale at Battle Market. But you can develop these qualities from God, who is the giver of all good things. The Bible says every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change. Abundant life is also free from the stuff that's bad for us. we have all lived long enough to know that it's not possible for any child growing up to avoid bad things and wrong attitudes. We all know, as it says in a song, I nearly said a hymn, but it's not a hymn, it's a song. You know, you've got to be taught before it's too late, before you are 6 or 7 or 8, to hate all the things your relatives hate. You've got to be carefully taught. I think that's an extremely profound song from South Pacific. You know, it's very true that kids grow up and they take on all sorts of values and stuff that they hear at home. And it's easy to acquire bad attitudes such as selfishness or hatred or lust or unforgiveness or envy, jealousy, fear, drunkenness, sexual immorality, discord, fits of rage, dishonesty, greed, gossiping, slander, pessimism and despair. And if you develop these things, you can spend a fortune on therapy and counselling trying to get yourself sorted out. And the more these negative qualities are part of a person's behaviour, the further they are from enjoying this thing called abundant life. God can help us get rid of any bad qualities from our life, because God is greater than our failings and shortcomings, and God is able to bring us out of them. At one time, the Greek city of Corinth lived a life full of much wickedness and evil. But when Jesus was introduced to these people by the power and grace of God, many were able to live differently. You know, when we're on holiday this year, we had the opportunity to go to the ruins of ancient Ephesus. And the thing that really struck me about that place, you know, they showed us the various temples, they showed us the little signs on the pavement which was telling people the way to go to the brothel and all the rest of it. And the thing that really struck me about that place was that not a lot different from the society in which we live today, with false religion and all sorts of immorality. And yet in that place was founded a church of Jesus, not because Jesus preached there, but because others preached there by the power of the Spirit. And it just really came home to me that we shouldn't water down what we believe. We shouldn't say, oh, well, let's just tamper with the Word of God a bit. Oh, some of this stuff's a bit extreme for living in 2016. Let's just tone down what we think about some of the stuff to do with sex because we live in a different day and age. No. No. Let's stick to what it says in the Bible. Let's stick to what it says here. Because God can bring the church through these difficult times. He did it before, and he will do it again. And we need to hold firm to the things that we've been taught and believe and find in the scriptures. So abundant life is free from the stuff that's bad for us. Abundant life is found in Christ and nowhere else. Now, many non-Christians obviously experience some happiness and satisfaction in their lives. And that's usually because they practice the qualities that make up the abundant life. You'll all know lots of non-Christians who are hugely patient, people full of integrity and kindness. And you'll also know non-Christians who avoid many of the things that destroy the abundant life, such as despair or pessimism or sexual immorality or substance abuse. However, Jesus said that unless we believe in him, we will all die in our sins. We must therefore understand that no matter how much happiness a non-Christian person experiences, it is unfortunately limited in quality and it is only temporary. Without having what the Bible calls the saving grace of Jesus, we're spiritually dead. We cannot live the abundant life if we're spiritually dead. The Bible says, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead. And that if you are in Christ, the abundant life is waiting for you. And God wants us to experience that abundant life. The Bible says God richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Did you catch that? It's God's desire that all his children discover happiness and satisfaction. We're commanded to rejoice in the Lord always. Jesus didn't say in John 10:10, I have come that some may have life to the full. All believing people are invited to discover abundant living. It is available to all God's children, no matter what the circumstances in life are. And this is a really hard concept for many of us to accept. we can assume that abundant life depends on circumstances or fate or luck or our bank account or our status in life or our health. Now, of course, these things are hugely important. But Jesus said, what is highly valued among men is actually detestable in God's sight. Wealth and power and status and worldly pleasure have nothing to do with living the abundant life. The abundant life is not necessarily a life of comfort and ease. We will all know some tough times as we go through life. And sometimes we go through the fire in order for it to melt away the impurities inside of us. And this is how God refines us. That's why James said, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds. There you are, Francis, for you and I this week. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds. Abundant life is not dependent on outside circumstances. It's not what happens to you that is nearly as important as how we respond to what happens to us. And some of the greatest people overcome adversity and hardships. You know, abundant life is not glamorous or flashy or outwardly impressive or concerned with the celebrity culture. Jesus spoke about a small gate and a narrow road that he told us about in Matthew 7:13. And the reason why so few will find it is because it takes more effort even to notice that small gate and narrow road. Abundant life has no flashing lights and no whistles or bells, and it's not necessarily obtained quickly. Lynn, you can go now if you need to get the others. I'm coming into land, all right? People can receive eternal life fairly quickly as long as they have a little faith. You can get eternal life with a little faith, but it's not that way with abundant life. It may take a few years before a person can experience it because it's a process that takes time. And don't allow that to discourage you. You know, in a few years from now, the Lord willing, you're going to be a few years older. And either you'll be a few years older and enjoying abundant life, or you'll be a few years older and still as miserable as you are today. You know, the choice is yours, really. We're living the abundant life when we understand that failure is an event and not a person. Failure's an event, not a person. Yesterday ended last night, and today is a brand new day. We're living the abundant life, and we've made friends with our past. We're focused on the present, and we're optimistic about the future. We're enjoying abundant life when we're filled with faith, hope, love, and we can live without anger and greed and guilt and envy or thoughts of getting our own back. We're living the abundant life when you're secure in who you are, so you're at peace with God and in fellowship with other people. We're living the abundant life when we can look back in forgiveness, we can look forward in hope, we can look around with compassion, and we can look up with gratitude. We're living the abundant life when this life is over, and we'll have lived it when we stand in front of the Creator of the universe, who says, well done, good and faithful servant. You know, it isn't going to be long. It's a lovely sunny day today. You've prayed about the autumn, but winter's coming, and it won't be long, if you've not started already, that you start planning and buying for Christmas. Yes. Yes. Jesus said, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? And I think God wants us to give us that gift of abundant life. Jesus really has come so that we may enjoy life to the full. And if we've already said yes to Jesus and received eternal life, and that will be the majority of people here this morning, then I ask you to reflect on this phrase about abundant life, because abundant life is yours. However, living it is a process, and it will become a lifestyle as you grow to be more like Christ. I encourage us, let's pursue that. Let's pursue that sort of lifestyle, because actually, not only are we going to feel better for it, but it's going to have a revolutionary effect as a byproduct, accidentally, on our witness. Amen.